Well, good morning to you all and welcome to our service this morning. I've been in the habit over the past 3 years of also welcoming whoever is conducting the service to the church. Now, I know that Ate was here last week, but I wasn't, so I'm going to take the opportunity to welcome Ate and say that although I wasn't here last week, I did listen to the service and the podcast, and for that reason, amongst others, I'm looking forward to you leading worship this morning. Thank you. A number of notices. There are almost as many notices not on the sheet as are on the sheet this morning, but can I draw your attention to a couple of things on the sheet, first of all, particularly the Ceilidh, which will be held a couple of weeks' time at the end of the month on the 23rd of February, and the details are on there so you can look at that for yourselves. Things that are not on the bulletin, first of all, we have our prayer meeting, monthly prayer meeting this evening in June Taylor's house at 7 o'clock. If you're free and able to come to that, be very welcome. Some of you may already have got your copies of, but many of you will not have your copies of, the Brideheart News. Now, the Brideheart News, think about the name Brideheart and see if you can work out where it came from. It's the Lanbride and Urquhart community newsletter, which has been produced jointly by the community and the church. Sheila Silvestri is organising the distribution of this, and there's been a little bit of a hiccup along the way, not Sheila's fault at all, but there are bundles for elders' districts in the small hall, and there are also areas in the villages that need to be covered for people who are not in the members of the congregation. So could you speak to Sheila, please, after the service, if you're able to help with distributing in Urquhart and Lanbride, and if you distribute to elders' districts, then speak to Sheila about the bundles that you can pick up there. So hopefully, by this time next week, if you've not got them, you'll all have your Brideheart news. Just an advance notice, there's a Fresh Expressions conference run by the Presbytery. It's in the Williamson Hall in Elgin on the Saturday, the 2nd of March. I'll put the notice on the notice board at the end of the service. I have a note here from Carolyn Campbell, Alistair's wife, on behalf of Murray Food Bank, and she wants me to pass on my thanks to the congregation for your very generous donations. She says that sadly requests for food parcels continue undiminished, so we still need all the support we can get. And donations such as ours not only enable us to help others, but also help to keep our spirits up. So thanks from Carolyn, and the donations box is at the back of the central section of the church. And finally, just one piece of news, which I think some of you will know, some of you don't know, a sad piece of news. Cathy Law, one of our members, died on Friday evening, I believe it was. She and her husband have not been here for quite some time because of Cathy's illness. So we'll remember the family in our prayers. And we could also remember Willie Burns, because Willie Burns is not at all well. And I think he would appreciate our prayers at this time. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. It was nice meeting you or greeting you this morning in front. Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 10 to 12, and then verse 16 and 17. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it. You islands and all who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountain tops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mercy and peace be unto you. Let's greet the Lord back, and we do that by singing from hymn 189, Now Thank We All, Our God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, and as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Although your word comes through the brokenness of humans, we trust the work of your Spirit to be the editor of the message within every mind and heart. Thank you for teaching us also to pray. Hear our prayer as we pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The first hymn that we sang this morning was the first hymn that we were taught in grade one, or I don't know, do you call it level one here in primary school? Primary one, yes. The words with our hymn reads or will go as follow: To God, all God be the glory, who cares for us from childhood till olden days. And when we sang this morning, it was as if I was back in primary level one again. And how lovely. I mean, those, I'll speak of grade one or primary level one then. I mean, you don't even know how to pronounce the words. But later days, you find out it's the God of grace that really guided you and cares for you. Now, I saw there's two young ones here this morning. I saw two children this morning. Can I ask you to come to the front and help me and assist me with some things this morning? And I did go and check again on the World Health Organization. It is 2015, and they state the following. They say, so age is defined in the following new categories, although Brits doesn't want to comply with it, apparently. I don't know, but some of us are Scots and South Africans. They say 0 to 17 years old, you are called underage. And it's not a joke, it's now the categories these days. And 18 to 65, you are part of youth or young people. And then 66, now you need to listen for the categories. 66 to 79, you are only middle-aged. That's good, yes. And those in the category of 80 to 99, you only became a senior now. It's lovely, actually. And 100 plus years old, they are called long-lived elderly. It's beautiful categories. Okay. So if you tell me your names again. It's Katie and?
Mia.
What's lovely names. And my name is Ati. Now, I was wondering, when I watch television shows, I see people has these cook-off shows. They tend to make new recipes. Do you like cooking or helping in the kitchen? Yes or no? Yes? Yes. And I was wondering if I would invite people over for supper. I got some soup as gifts, lovely soup. And we get very different kinds of soup. This is lentil soup. Do you like soup? Do you eat soup? Yes. This is lentil soup and this is kakaliki soup, which we don't have in South Africa. But I've tasted it. It's very nice. And I was wondering if I would invite people over. And I mean, the soup tastes wonderful, but I was thinking just to make it more tasteful, to add some things with the soup, if that would inspire my guest and myself. So I was wondering, I brought some new ingredients with, and maybe you can assist me with that. And we'll ask the grown-ups, what do they think of the ingredients? I'll just get the ingredients here from the back, and then you can help me unpack them. Mia, and would you take some of those out for us? Let's see what's in there. And put them on the table. Yes? There you go. You can put it there. Yes? Take out, please. Thank you. Yes? Put it on the table. Okay, so what's this? Coffee, sorry. And this is? Tomato sauce. I was wondering, we also say tomato sauce, and I see ketchup on the label. What do you say? Sauce, tomato sauce. I like the Scots. Okay, and what else? There you go. What is that? Black pepper. Put it on the table. And there you go. Salt. And what is this called? HP sauce. We also don't have this in South Africa, so I'll try to impress the other South Africans with those ingredients. Yes, that is it. So I was wondering if we would use one of these soups and just ask you and the others, what's in here? I hear everyone goes organic these days. What's in there? Can you tell me? What's that?
Mud.
Leaves. And this?
Grass.
Yes. So let's think. If we would prepare the soup, what do you think we can add that would be good to the soup if we need to make it more vibrant? What would you say? Shall we put in some grass? No grass, okay. Coffee. Would coffee and soup go together if I pour it together? What do you think? Not. Why not? Why not? It would taste like coffee. Okay, so we'll put that aside. Could we do this?
It would taste tomato-y if we put it in tomato soup.
Okay, in tomato soup. So it would taste tomatoey if we put it in tomato soup. So that would work. That could work. Yes. So that's lovely. Good. HP sauce? A lot of it or a little bit? What would you say?
A little bit.
A little bit.
And it would be good.
Yeah.
Yes. I also thought of that. What about the mud? For a different taste?
No.
No. Why not the mud?
Because it will make you sick if you eat it.
It would make you sick if you eat the mud. But I thought these days they throw everything that's green and organic in. I thought maybe try new recipes. And what do you think?
I don't know, but maybe a little bit.
A little bit, because it's salt. Yes, salt brings out the flavor. Good. Yeah, so we can add that. And this is pepper. What does pepper do?
It makes her spicy.
Makes it spicy. Do you like spicy foods?
A little bit,
yes.
I don't really like spice.
Yes, I only like a little bit, but too much of it won't be good, yes. So if we would make the soup this morning and add those ingredients, that would be good, but some ingredients is not good. Do you affirm that? Yes. So when we think of life, people, just check out all the people there, yes. Do they all look the same to us? No, they're different. They're like cans of soup. They all look different. And they all have different tastes. Well, we won't taste them, but they all look a bit different. Hey? Do you agree with me? And so is life. We have different kinds of people. And the way we act or interact with other people, it's like adding certain ingredients to life. If I would do bad things or ill-treat other people, it's like putting these bad ingredients in the soup. And would it be good to eat, to ill-treat other people or treat people in a bad manner? Would it be good? No. But I can be friendly and helpful of others. That's good. And that's like putting good ingredients in the life of other people. Yes. And if I put good ingredients and value in the lives of other people, it makes their lives better, doesn't it? It does. Yes. And therefore, Jesus teaches us a wonderful thing. He says, love the Lord with everything you do, and have. So what do you have? I see you have a dolly. Is it a hare or a rabbit? It's a rabbit, yes. So the way, it's a beautiful rabbit. Show it to them. It's a beautiful rabbit, yes. So the way we do things, Jesus says, do it in love. Care for other people. And then he says, make the right choices. When we make a choice, we do it in a good manner. And if he tells us to love him with everything, he also asks us to make the right choices. And this week, when you need to help someone, maybe at school or at work, think of the soup. Think of life. Think, am I adding good flavor in my choices, or will it not taste or be so good? Okay. Shall I pray for us? Okay. Thank you for helping me. And stand here, then I'll pray for us. Dear Lord, all of us, we are different, and thank you that you bless us. Thank you that you help us in making the math of life. If we do good to others, we have a good society, we have a good environment. And thank you, Jesus, that you loved us with goodness. Lord, thank you that you really love us dearly. You add goodness to our lives, and you give us the privilege to love other people. Help us this week when we make choices to remember to make choices which add goodness and value to the lives of others. By this means, you will help us to live in better societies and environments. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so thank you for your advice. I'll try to make soup in a good manner this week. See you. Let us sing hymn 606, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders.
Oh, I was so worried for a moment in the children's address that Attie was going to suggest putting the bunny rabbit in the soup. We welcome diversity in Christ's church, and we love you. Even if you say tomato and we say tomato. Let us hear the word of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34, and you'll find it in page 1018 of the Pew Bibles if you want to read along. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. And our second passage you'll find on page 1139 of the Pew Bibles. And I'll be reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Let's sing from the church hymnary 189, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Thank you.
A few years ago, the writer Gerard Swensgens wrote a short story titled, Don't Put Up With Anything. Don't put up with everything. Or in the German, Nicht alles gefallen lassen. A story deserving thought, and it goes something like this. Two families lived in opposing blocks of flats. Let's call them Family A and Family B. One day, the woman of Family A decided to borrow a frying pan from the lady from Family B. And when she had not returned the frying pan after a number of months, Woman B started spreading ugly stories about her in the neighborhood. I was wondering why you giggle. The gossip must have reached Woman A, for the next day the children of Woman B arrived home from school with swollen black eyes. Of course, this could not be left there. That night, all the members of Family B went over and dug a deep hole in front of the door of Family A, the flat of Family A. Now, the next morning, when the husband of poor Family A wanted to go to work, he fell into the hole with a terrible scream, breaking his leg, which was just as well, for if he had not fallen into the hole, he would have died in a bomb explosion that ripped his car into pieces a few seconds later. Now, Family A immediately decided to take revenge, to render fire with fire, and started firing anti-aircraft guns to the flat of Family B, who in turn retaliated by neatly slinging a small atom bomb onto the kitchen floor of Family A's flat. An ominous mushroom-shaped cloud flowered over the city, and the story ends. We are, of course, all dead. There are no longer any flats or streets or city. Just a grey-brown stain remains. But folks, we showed them. We did not put up with everything. Did not let them mess with us. Yes, when we think of the story, we do not know whether to laugh or to cry about this. Perhaps if we are deeply honest, we should cry. For in this story, we recognize much of our own life approach, our own life stories, and of what goes around in society. Injustice, bitterness, fury, and distrust turn our people who should live in peace into fighting families, even into enemies. We are arraigned on different sides of fighting lines, figuratively and sometimes also literally. We glare at each other through the guns, the visors, the razor wire, and aim projectiles. We say that is life. Violence calls for violence. Bullets for bullets. Blood for blood. Body for body. Child corpse for child corpse. That is the law of the world, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, isn't it? So monstrous has the spiral of violence become, so enormous the proportions that one wonders how it can ever be stopped. It spreads like cancer, swallows all in its path, and destroys everything that is good and beautiful. Nobody wins. There's no winners. There are only losers, because victims become aggressors and aggressors become victims and vice versa. It continues in an endless destructive vortex. No wonder many people are in despair. They commit a kind of internal emigration where they cut themselves off from society and the outside world. They become so mute and so shock passive that they give up their responsibility in society. And so they're actually giving up and giving over to evil, to let evil go its own way. And in the meantime, the numbers of graves increases in the world. You might remember in the 1980s, an Irish music group, the Furies, if I say it or pronounce it correctly, sang a song which was not very popular, at least not in the traditional sense. The singer stands in a cemetery amongst a lot of graves or white crosses, as far as the eye can see. He stands at the grave of a 19-year-old who died in a battle in 1916. And then he sings the following. But here in the graveyard, it is still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To man's blind indifferences, to his fellow men, to all generations that were butchered and damned. And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end wars? The sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying was all done in vain. It all happened again and again and again and again. Can this sick spiral of violence be stayed? That's a question we'd ask ourselves. And it can. It can. Because so says the Word of God. And that's why we are Christians and we believe in the Word of God and the works of God. In fact, not only the spiral of violence, but the entire network of evil that again and again threatens to destroy our world, it can be stopped. That's the implication of Paul when he says in verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In a remarkable pronouncement, the Apostle Paul knows how strong, how seemingly indestructible are the links in the chain of evil. And he knows how weak, how vulnerable are the people to whom he is writing. Frail people, people like us, people of flesh and blood. Not saints, but by nature inclined to be fascinated and also enticed by evil. And yet, there it is. It's black on white. You must overcome evil with good. Now, interpreters through the years have pointed out that in this portion of Scripture, one can at first glance look at some random proverbs that Paul puts together. But yet, there's a theme going right through the chapter, chapters 1 up till chapter 12 in Romans. And it's like a golden thread. And the main theme for Paul is love. Paul says, it is love that must regulate relationships, the relationships of Christians and those around us, and characterize the actions towards the world we live in. He wrote 11 gripping chapters about this, witnessing of the glowing and the glow of love. Chapter 12, then he looks to evil and tells us evil can be overcome. It's a very special kind of love which Paul is referring to. In no ways it is born from and out of ourselves or our own piety or excellence. No, it must come from outside. And the only way it comes to us is by means of God. God gives us this love. Now, some interpreters are of the opinion that these verses was especially focused on the love of God the Father. And interesting, telling us that when we witness or read this text, it could refer, when we read of forgiving our enemies, to our Father prayer. And that this text witness of love of forgiveness. And that is true. We can forgive others as the Lord forgives us. Other interpreters feel that it focuses on the love of the Son of Jesus Christ. Because we see in this style of Paul the actions of Christ. When he hung on the cross, he was insulted, but never insulted anyone back. When he suffered, he did not threaten others, but gave up everything and everything over to God, who alone can judge fairly. It is true. This passage is also about the love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yet other interpreters would go about and tell us that Paul is referring to the love of the Holy Spirit in this passage, particularly. It's the Spirit who bless the church, believers with various talents, and especially one crucial gift, the gift of love, love from God. And this is also true. It's all true. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in these verses. The comfort of this offering is this. Evil can be stopped. For evil has in fact already been conquered. God disarmed the forces of evil. And God exposed them in public, humiliated them by parading them in the triumphant procession of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 we read, Jesus halted the deadly advance of death when he arose from death on the third day. He, as it were, entered the world of evil and conquered it from within. He broke it open from the inside out. And that's the gospel of the message that the Spirit has since been proclaiming all over the world. And that's the message of life, of love, of goodness, of Christ risen from the tomb. Not for himself, but for each one of us. And sometimes I think, oh, if we could only open our eyes and view our world through this frame, through the frame of a loving God. And we know we are loved ones. We know this. But to live in a conscious, with a consciousness to see this all around us. For this reason, this call from the Apostle Paul, it's not an empty command. It's not an impossible dream. No, evil can be prevented because evil has been checked by Christ. The spiral of goodness is stronger than the spiral of any evil. Our enemies can be conquered for the good as we were won by Christ and have to be won time and time again for the good. Not in the way that the world wins by dominating or demonizing or even, alas, killing our enemies. And not by ignoring evil or rationalizing it. Paul says, abhor that which is bad. But by surprising evil and our enemies by acting differently to what they expect or would prescribe. By reacting with love, with reconciliation, with peace, and with goodness. The well-known theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes movingly about this. He says the following. In the new spiral of love, evil is forced to a standstill because it does not find the resistance it searches for and cries for. It is condemned by its inability to provoke opposing violence. Evil cannot find its mark. Cannot breed any evil further. It becomes infertile. Its sting has been drawn. Very good words from Bonhoeffer. The new spiral is of love, and that's a gift of God. Yet it must also be visible in the attitudes and deeds of God's people. The love is a command, an offering command. It demands the full input of our person, our energy, our whole being, our life. Even being citizens here in Scotland and all over the world doesn't matter. We are part of dismantling a chain reaction of evil. Whether it is where we are as Christians serving in large structures in our society or every human relationship, or in the following hour or two, where we might hear some words of bitterness or ill treatment coming our own way. Evil can and must be conquered for the good. That's the wonderful and that's the joyous promise of this text. It is possible. We can be a collection of people, a community of loved ones, according to the patterns of Jesus, according to his love, the way he sees us. We are people who are constantly and continuously being pulled into the circle of God's love. I mean, we are part of the world, that's true. But it's God who saves us. It's God pulling us in. He loves us. I said last week, we are all still children regardless of our age. God is still our Father, a good Father, caring for us, loving for us, looking out for us. We are not people that's better than other people. There are the natural enemies of God, but who has become justified and saved by our loving Father and Jesus, his Son. People who by nature were maybe loveless haters, but have now become beloved ones of God and can therefore also love others. I said earlier, oh, if we can only see ourselves through this frame, see ourselves in the light that God sees us with. Yes, this is the joyous gospel of these verses. It is God and us and God, and together we can make a difference in our country, and together we can strike a blow for the good, for the kingdom of God and not our own kingdoms. For truly we have had our quota of evil, that's true, I think in everyone's life. The time for reconciliation, for peace, for love, and for goodness is now. It's dawned. In fact, it dawned a long while ago. It cannot wait another minute. It can't wait another second. And let us stop playing God for ourselves and judging people. That's God doing that. Let us stop damning others, rather bless them. Let us stop returning evil with evil, rather with goodwill. Let us exchange bitterness for hospitality, hate for peace, murder for bread for the hungry, and water for the thirsty. Let us make our enemies red with shame, rather than making or letting the soil of life run red with blood. Yes, let us melt down the figuratively spoken razors and wires and cannons and atom bombs. And sometimes we hit them quite privately in our own personalities and lives. Yes, let us serve one another in the love environment of God, to the glory of God. Let us say no, no to violence. If you see it, address it in the name of Jesus and the work of his Spirit. No to evil, and yes to good, yes to God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, we thank you for your word, which is relevant through all the ages, even for this day. When we ponder on it, it is as if you wrote it knowing our societies, our environments. You know the ins and the outs of our lives. You are more than familiar with our personalities, our thoughts, and our nature. Why? Because you made us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And in all humbleness, we do come and ask forgiveness for ill-treating others and in the process acting loveless against you. Because everyone was created by you. The bigger result of our sinful actions is just vicious. It's a vortex and a negative spiral where our own ammunition of self-justification sometimes just ricochets back, and it leaves us with more harm and more devastation and disorientation. And now again, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will come over us and in us and reform us to rethink who we are. Grab us out of the pitfall of life when it becomes dark. We know we are your loved ones. We are being loved deeply by you. And sometimes the actions inspired by evil in this world blurs our vision. And therefore we pray, please clear our vision to not focus on the outer influence, but by focusing on the inner love we receive from you. Therefore, we pray, as earlier today, help us to forgive as you forgive us. truly help us this week every day with this. And to remind us of your grace and love that we have through the salvation of you, Jesus Christ, and inspire us to live by means of the gifts you bestowed upon each of us through your Spirit, to overcome evil with good, to live, love, to consciously be aware that we are in your presence and not bringing you just into our presence from time to time. Lord, some may wonder this morning, but what gifts do I have to offer? We know and we read of gifts like teaching and caring, words of wisdom and knowledge, of distinguishment, and so forth. And maybe some might ask, but I'm older or living on my own, what can I offer? Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, and I think of the wonderful gifts like hospitality, to just open your front door or your heart, to pray and to intercede for others, to offer up time to listen to people who needs an ear. Thank you that your gifts come to all of us in various different ways. And this morning, we confess and confirm again, we live in your kingdom. Thank you for your everlasting love. We pray this in your name, Jesus, through the works of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We could proceed with the offering. Let us pray. As we offer our treasures and our hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, of love, of community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. We especially pray for our fellow believers this morning, families and friends, so that you will comfort them in difficult times, to be with them, and therefore, loving God, you care for all your children, you know each one and hear each prayer, you know each house and see each need. Give peace and love to those who call upon you, and receive us into the kingdom of your light. Bless your church, here and everywhere. Confirm your people in the faith of the gospel. Inspire them with love for your house, zeal in your service, and joy in the well-being of your kingdom. Bless your servant, Elizabeth the Queen. Govern the hearts and minds of the Queen's ministers and counselors, that they may fulfill their service for the welfare of the people. We pray for our Parliament, our Scottish Government. We pray for Moray District, its leaders, our council. Please guide them that everything they do or decide may be to your glory in your name. Bless the whole world with peace. Kindle in the hearts of all people the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom the leaders of the nation, that your kingdom may advance until the earth be filled with the knowledge of your love. Bless with your comfort all who are in trouble or pain. Heal those who are sick and support those who are dying. Console those who mourn. Lord, and this morning we bring Tony, Mandy and Sarah Law before you. You know everything of them. May they be intensely aware of your presence during this time of sorrow. As a parish, we thank you for the life of Kathy. We thank you that we know she is home with you. We also heard of Sue's mother, Sue Cunningham, which passed on this week. Be with Sue. Also comfort Sue and their family. You know them by heart. We also pray for Willie Burns and for Kay Corsi in hospital. Lord, we don't only want to say be with them. We know you are there. Because no walls, no situation can keep you away from loving and caring for them. Lord, this morning, as a congregation, as a community, as a parish, we also pray for Tim Still, our family and our youth worker at school and in our community. We ask you to inspire Tim by the work of your Spirit and to equip him with what he needs for doing what you call him for. We pray that children, parents, and the community will be open to these works. Your work through him. We pray that you will bless him and his family. Lord, bless our homes, that love and joy may dwell there, and keep those who are absent from us within the protection of your love. Inspire us by your example. Encourage us to fellowship. And thank you that we know we have an everlasting home with you. We pray this through your work, Jesus Christ, filling us with your Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn comes from Mission Praise, number 437, Lord, Make Me an Instrument. And I was wondering, Laura, would it be fine with you if you and the choir would maybe sing the first verse, and then we'll repeat the hymn from verse 1 up till verse 3. Would that be fine with you? Thank you.
An instrument, an instrument.
The Lord will set out before you to prepare the road and the way ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you against the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be by your side to enfold you in his arms of love. The Lord will be beneath you to steady and lift you up the day you might stumble or fall. The Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Lord will dwell within you with his Spirit so that you may live by his love and his grace. Amen.